بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. إن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. All praise and thanks belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord, creator and sustainer of the heavens and the earth. Salawat and salam upon the most beloved of Allah's creation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family members, upon his companions, and upon all of those Muslims who follow his way of life until the end of times. Allah make us from them. Ameen. Amen. Beloved brothers and sisters in al-Islam, how are all of you doing? Alhamdulillah. Inshallah. Let's try that again. Beloved brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. How are all of you doing? Alhamdulillah. That's better. Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah. There is so much to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. If we think, if we ponder, if we sit down and we reflect a bit, wallahi, there is so much that we have to show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shukr for these things that Allah has granted us. From among the various favors which Allah has granted us, alhamdulillah, is the ability to breathe, alhamdulillah, to be alive, alhamdulillah. You know, to have safety, relative to where you come from, whatever the case may be. You know, safety might be you coming from Athlone or Weinberg, whatever the case may be. So it will differ person to person. Alhamdulillah, relative to other countries where there is war, civil war taking place, alhamdulillah, we are safe. By the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, most of us, alhamdulillah, we had something to eat. Alhamdulillah, we come to the musalla without any fear, not thinking, what's going to happen if I walk with my beard, with my thawb, whatever. So alhamdulillah, we have safety, alhamdulillah. We have the ability to freely move about. Ask anyone who does not enjoy the ability to freely move about, and that person will tell you the favor of Allah upon you. We know we have the faculty of sight, the ability to hear, the ability, my ability to freely converse with all of you. These are all bounties from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is my duty as a Muslim and your duty to always thank Allah. Remember, thanking Allah is a state of the heart. Always being in a state of gratefulness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you can, express your thanks by the tongue and the limbs. By doing those things and saying those things that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us tawfiq. Ameen. After Allah has blessed us with all of these favors that all of us experience, walhamdulillah, Allah has favored me and you to be in His obedience. Remember, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah has favored me and you to be part and parcel of the best of days, subhanallah. Think about it. The Nabi, in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He takes an oath by this day. Which day are we currently in? Jumu'ah, Yawm al-Jumu'ah, Friday, subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ. I, Allah, take an oath by that day that witnesses you every week. Scholars of tafsir explain, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swear an oath? Why would Allah take an oath by His creation? Why do we take oaths? Why? To emphasize whatever we are saying. Is it not so? To emphasize what we are saying. Wallahi, brother, tallahi, uqsimu billah. I take an oath by Allah, billahi. We take an oath by Allah to affirm whatever we are saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in no need of doing this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in no need of affirming what he is telling us and what He is promising us. Why? Because Allah in the Quran in various places tells me and you that His speech is the most truthful of speech. لا يخلف الميعاد. He does not go contrary to His word. So Allah is in no need of emphasizing what He's saying. So rather when Allah is taking an oath, it is to prove the importance of the thing that He's taking the oath upon. When Allah takes an oath by Yawm al-Jumu'ah, it is to prove what? It is to prove the importance of Yawm al-Jumu'ah. The greatness of this day, the blessings of this day, the virtues of this day. And that's why the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسِ. The best day in which the sun rises is which day? Yawm al-Jumu'ah. Why? Hikmah, wisdoms. Why? فِيهِ خُلِكَ آدَمْ. On this day Allah created the first human being. فِيهِ خُلِكَ آدَمْ وَفِيهِ أُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ. On this day Allah placed him into Jannah. وَفِيهِ أُخْرِجَ مِنْهَا. On this day Allah took him out of Jannah. وَلَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةِ. When will يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ come? When will that day come when me and you, all of us, will stand in front of Allah, in the court of Allah, and we will give hisab and reckoning for the lives that we lived in this world? When will that day come? That day will come on a Friday. Ponder about it, my beloved brothers. Ponder about it, my beloved sisters. The beginning of creation was on a Friday, and the end of creation will be on a Friday. Subhanallah, our gathering today, will we not gather on a Friday in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Definitely we will. Let us reflect about the situation in this life. how we live our lives, and let us become better Muslims, ameen, and better decent human beings, ameen. Beloved brothers and sisters in Al-Islam, after Allah has favored me and you to be part and parcel of the best of days, Allah has favored me and you to be in the best of places, the Musalla. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most beloved place to Allah is what? أَحَبُّ الْبُقَىٰ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا. The places wherein Allah is worshipped. Why? Because therein you find the pious servants of Allah, the angels, the pious jinn and demons, all of the pious creation. We are speaking about Allah, we are speaking about the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are placing salutations on the Nabi. We are reading the book of Allah, we are quoting the Nabi. All of these great things are taking place in this holy space over here. So is it not only right that this be the most beloved place to Allah? Question. Number three, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after blessing us with the best of days, after blessing us with the best of places, Allah has afforded me and you to be in the best of hours. On Jumu'ah day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is such a sa'ah, such a moment, that when you make dua to Allah, and your dua corresponds with that moment, illa a'tahu iyyah. Allah will grant you whatever you want. Ooh, you know, all of us have needs here. We need, you know, exams is coming, whatever the case may be. We need to prepare ourselves, call upon Allah. And this time is based on a general reading and a holistic reading of all the hadith. It's after Asr to Maghrib. The closer to Maghrib, the better. We make dua to Allah. The pious of this ummah, the salihun and the salaf of this ummah, they used to spend this time in dua. They would tell their wives, look here, wait. I'm now going to speak to Allah. You want to speak to Allah? Do it by the medium of salah. Do it by the medium of dua. You want Allah to speak to you? Do it by the medium of what? Reading the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah grant me and you the tawfiq to always be grateful to Allah for the various bounties of Allah upon us. Alhamdulillah. Question, inshallah. Do we love stories? Yes or no? That's quickly. Do we love stories? Yes or no? Why do we love stories? Why? Quickly. What's my time? Ah, it's 10 minutes gone. Why do we love it? Everyone loves a good story. The young amongst us and the old, is it not so? We love a good story. Anyone who can spin a good story, I'm there. I'm going to listen. You know? So we love stories, and that's the nature of mankind. All of people, you know, whether they are children, whether they are elders, whatever the case may be, we love the good story. We love those stories that carry some lessons for us. We love that, subhanAllah. Now remember, when we relate stories, when we relate history, when we relate the past to people, how do we relate it to people? In school, most of us studied history, social sciences, maybe in primary school, I don't know about high school. So we studied history. But what did the teacher emphasize upon? What did this, you know, what's the main emphasis upon? Is it not the names of people? When you study history, they tell you about names of people. They teach you about the dates, what happened here, what happened over there. And number three, they tell you about the names of places. Is it not so? But when Allah relates to us a story of the past, when Allah relates to us history, Allah does it in a different manner. There's no names of people, no names of places, and no dates. Why? What's the significance behind this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will briefly mention the story. But if we look at that story, there are so many fawaid, benefits, jewels, gems that we can take from that story. So why do you think, what's the wisdom behind this? Why does Allah omit details like names of people, names of places, and names of and dates and so forth and so forth? Why? What do you think? Anyone inshallah? You can speak in Jumu'ah. I don't think it's haram to speak during Jumu'ah. Anyone inshallah, quickly. It's not important. What is important is the lessons and the morals that you take from that story. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows the nature of people and they love stories. The difference between the stories that Allah relates are always, those stories are truthful stories. Those are actual events, actual incidents, things that did take place. That's the difference, number one. And number two, the lessons behind those stories are so powerful. Those lessons are universal and they are timeless. They go on forever. And that's why scholars say it is not far-fetched to say that a third of the Quran is stories. So one third of the Quran deals with our aqidah, our theology, our creed. Another third deals with ahkam, law. And a third of the Quran deals with what? Deals with qisas. And Allah says, فَقَصُصِ الْقَصَصَ O Muhammad, relate to them stories. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ So that they may take from those stories and better their lives, subhanAllah. So there's a surah that we recite every week. What surah is that? Can anyone tell me quickly? I mean, that's easy. Suratul Kahf. What does Suratul Kahf mean? The chapter of what? The chapter of the cave. What does a cave signify? What is it symbolic of? A cave. What do you take in a cave? You take what? Shelter, refuge, what? Is it not so? So the main theme of Surah Al-Kahf, just bear with me inshallah, I have to do this lengthy introduction. The main theme of Surah Al-Kahf, what do you think is the theme? Every surah has a main theme, an overarching theme. You can read this theme through. This theme you see in every ayah. You know, you read it throughout throughout that chapter. The Quran is a book, subhanAllah, that is in, has total coherence. But because we don't know Arabic, because we read translations, we do not see this. So the Quran, this chapter specifically, has a theme. And there's a reason why we recite it on a Friday. Who can tell me why do we recite it on a Friday? Why do we recite Surah Al-Kahf on a Friday? Why? Can anyone tell me? We're just reading it. We don't know why. It's khalas, inshallah, bismillah. My father told me to read it, I'm reading it. Don't we? What's the reason why we recite Surah Al-Kahf? Protection from who? From Ad-Dajjal. What did the Prophet say about Dajjal? He said, there is no Nabi that came upon this dunya except from the time of Adam until the time of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except that that Nabi pointed out and told these people about the coming of Dajjal. It is the greatest fitna. Fitna meaning what? Fitna meaning what? The greatest trial that Allah has placed upon any nation. The coming of the Dajjal. SubhanAllah. Think about that. And that's why we cite Surah Al-Kahf. So Surah Al-Kahf has a theme. What is that theme? The theme of Surah Al-Kahf is fitna. What does fitna mean? Trials, test. Doesn't mean skinna, doesn't mean gossip. It means trials and tribulations and difficulties. Literally the word fitna means when you take a piece of gold and you put it through the purifying process. When you take it out, what is the result of that? It is purified now. So similarly, when Allah puts you through certain fitnas, fitan, test, trials, tribulations, when you come out of that fitna, you had patience, you obeyed Allah. Within that fitna, what happens? You are purified from sin and from all these ugly things. Is that clear, inshallah? So Surah Al-Kahf has this main theme. The theme of fitna. There are four stories in Surah Al-Kahf. The story number one, I'm not going to go through, that's what I'm going to speak about. Story number two deals with the fitna of wealth. Two individuals, one had and the other one didn't have. You know, the one was rich and the other one didn't enjoy wealth and so forth. So the fitna of wealth. Question, is wealth a fitna from Allah? Yes. Some people, if they get a little, I'm better than everyone here. I've got money. It's a fitna. Number two, the story of Musa and Khidr alayhima as-salam. Knowledge, the fitna of knowledge. Is knowledge a fitna from Allah? Definitely. How many scholars do we know? They have knowledge, but they don't practice on that knowledge. They have knowledge, but they have arrogance. You know, all of these ills we know. And number four, the story of Dhul-Qarnayn, one of the kings that ruled the entire world, subhanAllah. And the fitna of authority. The fitna being a leader. Is being a leader a fitna, yes or no? It is a fitna. SubhanAllah, look at what leaders are doing with their people, with their subordinates. It is a trial and most of them, unfortunately, are failing it. So what is the first fitna? Allah subhanAllah relates to us and He says, to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by extension He tells us as well, O Muhammad, am hasibata anna ashab al-kahfi والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا. He relates to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Muhammad and O Ummatul Islam, do you think the story of the companions of the cave, have you heard this before? Have you heard about the companions of the cave? Have you heard about the seven sleepers? Do you think the story of the companions of the cave, do you think that is one of the greatest signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Muhammad and O Ummatul Islam? So what's the sign? We want to know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Muhammad in a manner, Allah does not want an answer. Allah says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you think that the story of the companions of the cave, that was the greatest miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nay, it is not. There are so many other great miracles. Allah created Prophet Adam without any father and mother. Allah created the heavens and the earth. Allah created Jesus without any father involved. Allah has so many miracles and so many signs for those who reflect upon those signs. So Allah is telling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is not the greatest sign of Allah. And then Allah relates to us the story. First Allah mentions it briefly, and then Allah gives details later. So I cannot go through every verse obviously, so I'm just fleshing out a story for you. Allah says, إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember the incident of those youngsters. Remember there was once upon a time a group of youngsters. They came from a certain society. Allahu a'lam bimakani. Allah knows best where that place is. We do not know that. That's not important. So they were a group of youngsters. They lived in a certain place. Fihi malikun tahut. Amongst them was an oppressive king. Ya'muru an-nas. He told the people to not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather to ascribe partners to Allah by worshipping Him. These youngsters, bifitratihim, due to the inner disposition, They know that there is a greater being out there. They know, reflecting upon the heavens and the earth, that no one could have brought these things. These things are not here by chance. There was a greater being that created these things. They reflected upon this and they said, nay, we cannot worship this man. He is not our creator. Rather, we will worship the creator of that king, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now imagine, subhanAllah, these were youngsters, they were young. Number two, the entire society did what the king commanded and they rebelled. They rebelled, subhanAllah, they went against that command. Number three, they came from affluent families, not from your riffraff of the community, like the top dogs of the community, subhanAllah. So these youngsters, they came together. فَقَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. They all stood up together. They said, رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهَا. We will never worship other than Allah. لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطًا. If we do so, we would be doing a heinous deed. SubhanAllah. Allah has created me. Allah gives me whatever I own and I direct my worship to other than Allah. This is called dhulm. This is called oppression. This is called wrongdoing. And that's why the Quran says, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Shirk is the greatest wrong. Why? Dhulm means when you take something out of its rightful place and put it in the incorrect place. So if I take my kufuya and I put it on my foot, is that dhulm on my kufuya? Yes, it is. If I take my sock and I pull it over my head, that is dhulm. So when I take the ibadah that belongs only to Allah and I direct it to other than Allah, I am making dhulm in regards to the rights of Allah. So these youngsters realize, and subhanAllah, think about the psychological trauma when you stand up against your community, when you, subhanAllah, go against the grain. Allah says, وَرَبَطَنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. We tied up their hearts. We made their hearts firm. وَرَبَطَنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. إِذْ قَامُوا, when they stood up, فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And then Allah says, إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةِ. Remember these youngsters, after being summoned by the king, they realize, hey, something's bad. Bad's going to happen to us. What happened then? إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ. These youngsters left their city. They left their backgrounds. They left their families. They left the comfort of their homes. They left that which they were accustomed to. إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ. فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. They said, Ya Allah, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. O Allah, grant us from your side mercy. وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. And grant us a way out of this difficulty that we fight, that we find ourselves in. So imagine the psychological state of these youngsters. They left. They left their city. They left their town. They ran throughout the night. They came to, you know, in front of a cave and they sought refuge in that cave. What then happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is how Allah aids His obedient servants. If you leave something for the sake of Allah, this is a rule. Should be written in gold, subhanallah. It is a rule of life. If you leave something for the sake of Allah, Allah will grant you better. If you leave something which is displeasing to Allah, you leave it for the sake of Allah, Allah will grant you better. If you leave that haram relationship for the sake of Allah, Allah will grant you better. If you leave bad company for the sake of Allah, Allah will grant you better. Allah says, فَضَرَبَنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ فِي الْكَهْفِ سِنِينَ عَدَدًا. Allah says, we closed their ears. And they slept for how long? سِنِينَ عَدَدًا. For many, many years. The Quran relates surah, verse 25. The Quran says, 309 years. 300 years according to the Gregorian calendar. 309 years according to the lunar calendar. They slept for 300 years. ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ. Then we resurrected them. Now when do we use the word resurrection? When do we use this vocabulary? When does the Quran normally use the vocab or the vocabulary of ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ? When? When someone has died. So they slept for such an extended period, it was as if they passed away. It was as if they died. ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ. Then we raised them. ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ. Allah says we raised them. And then they asked one another, كَمْ لَبِثْنَا. How long did we sleep? One of them said, يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ. We slept for a day or a portion of the day. Not knowing, subhanAllah, that we slept for 309 years. Allah says to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah relates the story further, وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if only you were there and you saw the sun, you know, وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ. When it rose, it would rise away from the cave. Why? What happens if you have an overexposure to the sun? What happens? What happens? Too much sun, what happens? Sunburn, all of these things, subhanAllah, you could die. 300 of years in the sun, you could die, subhanAllah. So Allah subhanAllah relates to us that they slept fi fajwatin minhu, in the middle of the cave. When the sun rose, it gave them sufficient light, but not too much. وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ, and when the sun sets, what happened? It would move away. تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ, it would move away from the cave. So sufficient light to give their bodies what the body requires, but not overexposure to the rays of the sun, subhanAllah. Allah says, and Allah continues, وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ, we turned their bodies, Allah says. This is how Allah aids His obedient servants. This is how Allah helps His obedient slaves. Think about it. Deen today, religion today, has become a fitna in the lives of many Muslims. Today you are trialed. When you take a position, the boss will tell you, no dhuhr salah. You have to make a dhuhr salah qadha tonight. The boss will tell you, no jumu'ah salah. So today, our Islam is a test for us, subhanAllah. Our Islam is a fitna for us. And Allah is watching how we are dealing with this fitna. These youngsters, they were in the prime of the youth. They had everything going. They could have just gone with society. But they said, nay. Nay, we will not go. We will choose the opposite direction. The direction that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, and Allah continues, وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ, we made their bodies turn to the right and to the left. What do you think is the wisdom behind this? Can anyone tell me the wisdom? Why would Allah make their bodies turn? Because if a person, what happens if someone is bedridden and they spend all the time in bed, no one moves their bodies? Bed sores, limbs become stiff, limbs start becoming brittle, all of these things. And also, insects starts eating on the body. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we made the body still. This is verbatim the Quran. This is not some fairy tale I'm quoting from fabricated hadith. Quran. Quran tells us this. Allah says, O Muhammad, if you saw them, you would see that their eyes were open, وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ, but actually they were sleeping. Why? If anyone wanted to peep in, he would realize, hey, who are these people? And they would run away. وَلَمُلِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ رُعْبًا, O Muhammad, if you saw them, you would have been filled with fear and you would have run away. That is how the appearance of them was. This is how Allah comes to the aid of those people who chooses to give the deen of Allah preference. From this surah and this story, we learn the importance of you guys, the youth. We need the youth of this ummah. According to UN statistics, according to UN statistics, the most neglected category of people are who? Are the youth. We care about the young, we care about the old, but who cares about the youth? We write the youth off. We say, Alas di Makkah, they are a youth at loss, a youth at risk. All of these terms we throw at the youth, subhanAllah. But the Nabi SAW taught me and you that one of the best categories of people will be who? Will be the youth. The Prophet SAW said seven categories of people. Allah will shade in His shade on that day of Yawm al-Qiyamah when there will be no shade. Who will they be? Shab, nasha'a fi ibadati Rabbi Azza wa Jal. A youngster who dedicated and adopted a life of piety, subhanAllah. Think about it, beloved brothers. Who are the people that responded to the call of the Nabi SAW? They were the youth, not the old. The youth, subhanAllah. The youth, they have talent, they have beauty, they have potential, they have all this. They are savvy with technology. They can be such, you guys have such potential, subhanAllah, to take the ummah forward. SubhanAllah. Who are the people that brought apartheid down? They were the youth of yesteryear. Many of our older brothers and uncles that are sitting here, they were the people in the apartheid era that brought apartheid down. Who are the people that caused the Arab Spring? And I'm not commenting whether it's right or wrong from a political perspective. What I am saying is, they were the youth, subhanAllah. The youth has such a great status. And Allah relates to us that the youth, O youth, you will be tested with your deen. You will be tested with your deen. SubhanAllah, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that on close to Judgment Day, one of the signs of Yawm al-Qiyamah, keeping onto your deen will be like keeping onto a hot coal. You know, how do you keep onto a hot coal? You can't keep onto it. Oh, beloved youth, oh, beloved brothers, oh, uncles and aunties and sisters, keep to your deen. Remember and reflect upon the story of these youth. Allah says, ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ أَحْصَى لِمَا لَبِثُوا أَمَدًا. We made them wake up. What happens after waking up? What do you build up? So after asking one another, how long did we sleep? They couldn't find out. Because probably they came the morning or the evening and you know it was day now. So they tried to figure out. What's the very, very first thing after waking up, after a long nap, what happens? You build up what? You build up an appetite. They then tell one of them, look here, go to the shop, go to the town, get some food for us, you know, and bring it back for us. But listen to the advice. Listen to the advice. Listen to the advice, beloved brothers. They tell this person, go, فَأَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طَعَامًا فَلِيَأْتِكُمْ بِرِزْقٍ مِّنْهُ وَلِيَتَلَطَّفْ وَلَا يُشْعَرُنَّ بِكُمْ أَحَدًا. They tell this person, when you go, look only for food which is halal. Look for the most halal food, subhanAllah. Imagine in a cave, away from the families, they were about to be persecuted, ran away. But they are concerned what enters into their tummy. Wallahi, that is a lesson for me and you. Today we look down upon people. You know, this guy doesn't pray salah and he drinks alcohol, but he's worries about if the meat is halal or haram. That is a sign of iman and taqwa of Allah. If a person is concerned of what enters into his tummy, that is a sign he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were concerned about that. They were concerned about that. Allah continues the story. Allah says, this guy, he comes in the city. He pays the money to the baker and the baker's like, Haji, where did you come from? 300 years later, what happens? Currency changes. Clothing changes. The way people speak changes. Hairstyles change. This guy's like back in time. He comes out, you know, back into the future, something like this. He comes here, the baker's like, what happened here? Where did you come from? He converses with this guy and this guy realizes that, you know, they were absent for 300 years. The king and all of the people of their time has passed on. And then the people of the community gives chase. The people chases them, him, this individual, until the cave. And there when they meet these people, they realize, subhanAllah, look at the qudra of Allah, look at the power of Allah. 300 years, 309 years, and Allah gave them life, subhanAllah. And all of the people become believers, subhanAllah. They believe in the ability of Allah, in the qudra of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah relates to us. And Allah mentions that they were seven. The Quran alludes to the fact that there were seven sleepers. And Allah says, وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِتٌ لِرَاعِهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ. Their dog was with them. They had a dog with them. What do we consider a dog today? We consider a dog today to be as what? If we see a dog, what do we consider a dog as? I can't hear. Are you shy? It's, no, a pet, yes, but what do we, as Muslims, that, you know, najis, SubhanAllah, Allah relates to us. Allah says they were seven, or alludes to the fact that they were seven, and then mentions specifically, وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِتٌ لِرَعِيهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ. The dog was at the mouth of the cave, sitting there, you know, like a watchdog. Why do you think is the significance? Why would Allah make special reference to a dog? Why? It shows me and you the importance of good company. How great impact that good company has and on any individual. Good company, peer pressure, is something which is rife amongst our youth and even amongst our elders. But look at the scenario. This dog, an insignificant creation of Allah, he accompanied the pious and Allah mentions him in the Quran. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, watch and be wary of who you take as friends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, Al-Akhilla, friends, that person who you love, nah, this is my brother, I will die for him. Al-Akhilla, yawma idin ba'duhum li ba'din adu. You will be an enemy towards your friend on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Illa al-Muttaqeen. Except a friendship that was based upon piety. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Mar'u ala deeni khadilihi. A man will follow the way of his friend. فَلْيَنْدُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ. Look to whom you befriend. How many people are sitting in jails today? Wallahi, I know so many people. Sitting in jails, why? Because of belonging to a certain clique of people, he took the puck, as we say, and he's in jail today. He's suffering in jail today. How many people do we know are drug addicts today? Why? Because of the friends that they have and the friends that they took, subhanAllah. Oh youth, reflect and be wary, subhanAllah. Reflect upon the surah, reflect upon the story. A dog, an insignificant creation of Allah. He merely accompanied the pious. And Allah mentions him in the Quran. May Allah grant us the tawfiq. May Allah grant us the guidance. What then happens was, these people come, the people of the community find us. These people that they heard stories about, legends about. And Allah causes all of these youth, the seven and the dog, to pass away. What do you think is the reason why Allah would make them pass away? Quickly, why? Why would Allah make them pass away?
Allah gave him the power to stay alive.
Allah gave him the power to stay alive, but why? Because Allah knew how a fitna they will be in their society. How are we when a pious person comes here? This pious guy, man, to make sujood here. So imagine people will probably worship these people. You know, these are great walis of Allah, Allahu Akbar, we're losing ourselves here. So Allah said, nay. No fitna here, no trials here. I don't want to trial these people with their deen. And he made all of them pass away. And that's the story of the companions of the cave. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding, the tawfiq. I hope you've benefited from the story, inshallah, if you've heard it for the first time, alhamdulillah. If you've heard it before, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you, you know, further insight into this surah.